Tonight, I want us to start a series on grace study. A lot of times I get to preach on grace, but it's a lot different when I can take time and we do a study and listen to the scripture and focus on exactly, okay, what does this mean? How does God do this? And then most of those questions, I don't have the slightest answer for you, but at least we can do understand that God knows. And we will learn a lot from it, I think. Here's something I wanted everybody to do, and that is complete these common American phrases for me. If it sounds too good to be true, it is. We make money the old-fashioned way. We earn it. There's no such thing as a free lunch. There is no gain without
pain.
Oh, that's a fact, isn't it? God helps those who... Now, the problem is, these aren't biblical. But those are exactly what you will hear. There's no gain without pain. Folks, it was through Christ's pain that I gained eternal life, but it wasn't a pain on me, but Christ. Christians, each one of us need to understand that when we are, and as we are, children of God, now remember this and think about it. Every human being that has ever been born was born with an opportunity to meet their God, the Creator. Every human being. I am a child of God. You're a child of God. The worst criminals I've ever met, and I don't care how vile they were children of God that was given chance after chance after chance to repent and follow the Lord. But God said that He is the Creator of all. When we read the scripture about how God molded us in His image and in our mother's womb out of darkness, and He knew us before we were born, that does not exclude those who do not accept Him. God's still in charge of all creation. Now, He gave us, and we're the only ones, got to remember, you and I, the human race, we are the only group that has freedom of choice. The cow's going to give milk whether she likes it or not. Can't kick out on that. And you think of everything that is created, we're the only of God's creation that have the freedom to walk away from God, have the freedom to choose because of what He has done for us. So when we listen to these statements of American phrases that I'm talking about, so often we get caught up in to some of them to the point you got to pull yourself up by your own bootstraps. You're a self-made man. Well, all of that sounds good. Trouble is, it's not biblical. I'm not a self-made man. God made me, made you. God, the only thing about me that where I had input on it is the bad stuff. Everything that was in me that is good was God's doing. Everything that's bad was my doing. Well, no, you need to say it's the devil's doing. No. I would have done it if the devil had been on vacation. That's the human nature. Human beings have the nature of sin. We're born that way. Well, we were. I mean, in the Baptist faith and all, I always understood that the first sin of Adam, and we inherit the guilt of that sin until... Now there's a group of Baptists saying, well, no, that's not right. We need to change that. Folks, I don't care what title you put on Christian groups or any other groups. Nobody has the right Southern Baptists, Northern Baptists, all of the vegetarians and all of them, nobody has that right to change the Word of God and say something else so we won't hurt anybody's feelings. Right now we're dealing with, well, you don't have to, oh, no, Christians aren't the only one that can go to heaven, because you really don't need to know Jesus Christ to get to heaven. You and I are called by God to say there's one way, Jesus. Now, your children might not have liked it as they were growing up and you said, you're going to church. And then they start rebelling against church. And then all you would hear in those days was, man, was I ready to go to church. You can't do that nowadays. You go to jail for it. But think of it. You and I, most of us, grew up with parents or someone around us that encouraged us to go to God's house. This is called the American work ethic, what I've just read. The only problem with the American work ethic is God doesn't operate on the American work ethic. Now, that just pops so many people's bubble because they thought that God was really doing what we ask Him to do. You and I need to understand that we are God's children. I do not allow my child, and I don't care what age he'll come, he will have respect for me as a parent, and my child will at no point in my life ever become any more than my child. He is my child. I am his father. Therefore, I understand God doesn't work as on the human scale of the work ethic. You and I are saved and not by works. You and I are loved and not because we're lovable. You and I are cared for, not because we deserve it. All and everything that goes on in our life goes on because God, our Father, remains God, our Father. Even God, coming incarnate in the body of Jesus, let us hear Jesus say, I'm not going to say anything my Father didn't give me to say. And always pointing to God the Father. And you have many that are not of the Christian faith that will say, and I see you all worship three gods, God the Father, Son, the Holy Spirit. You and I understand our Father. Why? Because He's our Father. We know that He loves us. Why? Well, we haven't figured that one out yet. Because we're not lovable. But He loves us because of His love. When you have your child, you and I, in our love for children, in our love for what we call our flesh and blood, let me tell you, the Word of God reaches beyond flesh and blood. The love of God is not encompassed with flesh and blood. Jesus was the only one ever in history or ever shall be that was the ultimate love giver. Jesus loved even, listen to him, he's on the cross. Would you and I be yelling down, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do? Or would we be looking at those legions of angels saying, okay, wipe them out, Lord. That's us. God's love is not under any circumstances controlled by our lack of receiving His love. He's going to love me anyway. People say, well, you're going to surprise God with that one? No, I'm not going to surprise God with anything. God knows what I'm going to do, even if it's bad, before I do it. And He loves me. All right. And that is not, folks, where me or any other preachers that deal with grace are saying that gives you a free ride. You just go do anything you want to do. I know one of our teenagers within our church had said, I don't see any need of following any of the rules. Brother Larry said that we are secure in our salvation. No matter what we do, we're going to heaven. Well, is that a fact? Actually, yes, if you've truly accepted Christ. But you never heard Brother Larry ever saying, go out and do anything you want to. No, you go out and you get in. Go ahead, go on out to a local bar and go in there with your knife, and y'all get in a knife fight, and then ask me later where God was. God says, I love you this much, and I'm not controlled by your culture. And sadly, our culture of America today, we, each individual, seems to be in control of the culture, meaning I want this. I'm going to do this. It's not right for you to say that, preacher. So what do we do? You and I are to teach, but you and I have no authority to make someone. We're the only, let me use the term religion, we are the only religious group that loves people into the kingdom. Islam, if you don't convert, you're dead. Christianity, we're going to love you anyway, and you're going to be given chance after chance after chance. Psalm 145, verse 8. The Lord is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger, and rich in love. Well, that scripture also lets us know God, being who He is, being slow to anger, that means you better get worried. God will put up with so much, but then He will tear the curtain or the separation in the temple, and He'll tear it from top to bottom. He will put up with so much, and then He acts. But still, folks, God acts in love. God is still going to... The lost person doesn't mean that lost person God didn't love. It means that God has the pain in His heart for everyone that doesn't accept the free gift that He offered of eternal life. To have peace in me, none of that money can buy. It's not found in what you own. It is found in who you know. But the great desire of America today is for peace. We don't want to deal with what's real. How do I know that? Think of all the medication. Think of all the illegal drugs. Think of it. Well, why do you smoke so much marijuana? Because I don't have to worry about anything. Why do you pop so many pills? Because I'm just a nervous wreck, and I have to pop them. And then I would say, why don't you get off them for a while, and it doesn't take long till I say, you need to get you some more. Because, you know, you ain't going to make it like this in life. So that's what we do. We do what we can to get away from reality. Reality is miserable. The loss of a loved one and all, the doctor says, oh, do you need something to calm you down? If whoever it is, and I'm there with them, they say, no, I don't. I say, yeah, you do. Yes, you do. You can't understand the Christian life at all unless you understand grace, right? Okay, grace is unmerited favor. Grace that God gives us is a gift that we didn't earn. It's a love that we don't know about. What is grace? Grace is a multifaceted diamond. Grace is the face God wears. Now listen to this. When He looks at my failures and He responds in a gracious way. Do you realize only God does that? God looks at our failures. Okay, look at all other religions. If you have failures, then you're either kicked out or you're looked down upon. God, our God, is the only God that is gracious in our failures. How does that work? He knows that I'm going to fail tomorrow, even though today I accepted his son as Lord and Savior. I came under conviction by his Holy Spirit. And in under that conviction, I knew that Jesus loves me. And I accept Jesus as Lord and Savior right then and there. And I know, I feel, and I understand it. All of us, during when at salvation time comes, we know it. No guesswork with us. Yes, I said yes to Jesus. Now, in that particular moment of when we say yes to Christ, you and I are ready and willing to do whatever it takes, as we will say, to serve the Lord. And then life hits. God knew when I accepted him as Lord and Savior that the dumb stuff that I would get into from that point on, he knew I was going to do it, and he loved me anyway. Not only did he love me anyway, he saved me anyway. By grace, he is not surprised at anything I do. Well, I guess a lot of people aren't anymore, but he is not surprised. It is. You need to understand the difference between grace and mercy. Mercy is when God doesn't give us what we do deserve, punishment. Grace is when God gives us what we don't deserve, blessing. That's why I wanted you all to have that printout on that one. It's great, especially when you're sharing Christ with others and they talk to you. It's a great reference point to come back. Here's the scripture that deals with that. Okay. Let's look at five aspects of saving grace. How is it you know for sure you're going to go to heaven when you die? Let's build the answer around the acrostic grace. What is grace? The G stands for God's gift to me. Each individually, we represent Christ as a body united together. But it's each individual one of us that receives the grace, an individual Christian. Then we unite together. Romans 3:24. All of us need to be made right with God by his grace. Now, listen to that. I'm to be made right with God by his grace. Not by my works, not by anything else. It's by his grace. That's what makes me right. Which is a free gift through Jesus Christ. You can't earn it, you can't buy it, you can't work for it. If you were to ask people along the sidewalk, how do you get to heaven? You get a lot of different answers. Have you ever done that? Just listen to some of the conversations. Don't butt into them. I did that one time, too many one time. Don't do that. Grace is the fundamental difference between Christianity and every other religion. Every other religion is based on works. Did you know that? And you can summarize them in one word, which is the do. Do. If you were to summarize Christianity in one word, it's the word done. What can I do to be saved? You're too late. You're about 2,000 years too late. Jesus said, it is finished. Not I am finished. The R in grace represents received by faith. Faith is the key that unlocks the door to heaven. What does a child have when you tell them the stories of life? What does a child have when they look up at you at that young age wanting answers from you? They have faith that mom and dad are going to lead them in the right way. They have faith that mom and dad are not going to lock them in a closet or beat them when they come home. Ephesians 2:8-9. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith. And this not from yourselves. It is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. The person who boasts about how close they walk with God either is not walking with God or they have a mental problem. And that's a fact, folks. you and I, anything that goes on in my life, I know anything good is of God. Now, a lot of the good is when God would and does fix my mess ups. God does that. You know when we talk about, well, yeah, you do this, you're going to have to deal with the circumstances of what you do, the consequences. It's the consequence of your sin that's going to cause you so much trouble. Well, that's true. Guess who forgives the consequences? But see, people say, no, I still got to go through the consequences. Why? So you can feel better? Or just sit there and sort of, you know, cut yourself a few times. And then you say, okay, it's paid. No. Too many people are wanting, once again, to show God, all right, I messed up, so, Lord, I deserve what I get. God already knows that. And he says, but I'm going to give you love. Faith. I believe what Jesus says he has done and is going to do in my life. I know he's going to do it. How do you know? Because of his grace. His word tells me that he is in charge. The world tells me there is no God. Well, that's troublesome for me because I was under conviction and I know God exists because he lives in me. I know that. So the world will say that. So what's the problem? The world has no faith in anything except either for themselves or for science. The greatest scientist that's ever been born happened to be Jesus Christ. Look at the miracles. Look at the prophets of old. You know, it's pretty rough when Elijah that told him to go ahead and dump the water on everything. Fill up full of water, and then God shot down the lightning and sucked up the water and the wood. That was Elijah, wasn't it? Am I right on that? That's okay. I'll get an email. Romans 4, first part of verse 16. People receive God's promise by having faith. This happens so the promise can be a free gift. What right do I have to step in the blood of Jesus, to stomp it in the ground, and say that it really doesn't mean that's old-fashioned religion? Well, that's the only true religion. That's the only true hope that we have, the blood of Christ. How is it that we stomp it anytime that we put any ideology, when we put any focus on anyone other than Christ as being our Savior, then we have just stomped in the blood that he shed for us. Salvation isn't based on my performance. It's based on God's promise. It's not my goodness, but God's grace. It's not based on my merit, but God's mercy. That's why he gets all the credit, all the glory. There's nothing I can do. It's a free gift that's received by faith. Why do people want to brag about themselves? Because they have a problem. Self-esteem, this doesn't build self-esteem. They have a problem. The problem is they don't know Jesus. And yet it is Jesus who keeps knocking at their heart. All of the situations in their life, you have Jesus standing there saying, call my name, call my name. 2 Samuel 9 is the story of a young disabled boy named Mephibosheth, the son of Jonathan, the grandson of King Saul in the Old Testament. King David said, bring him to me. Remember the story that Jesus told of the prodigal son. This was Jonathan. If you will remember when King David was... before he was king, and he's got became close friends with King Saul's son, Jonathan. They were so close to one another. when David became king, he said, are there any in the family that are left of Jonathan's family? And one of his aides says, yes, there's this cripple boy. Mephibosheth had been dropped when they were running from the slaughter by the one who was watching after him, and he was crippled. And he was made fun of for it because he was crippled, had a hard life, and David said, bring him in. And from that point, he sat at the king's table. But Mephibosheth was always referred to as that crippled kid. That's all there is left. Why? That was a put down. Anybody that had any kind of deformity whatsoever were classified as individuals that had sinned against God. Foolishness that there was. And if you will notice, just because somebody, something's going on in your family, people will say, or something going on in your own life, something harm has come with that. Well, you know, God must have, they deserved it, and God nailed them. God doesn't do that, folks, to his children. Is that what you do to one of your children? No. God doesn't do that. Okay. The A in grace is available to everyone. Romans 4, 16, second part. The promise is not only for those people that live under the law of Moses. It is for anyone who lives with faith like Abraham. You do remember that Abraham, the father of the nation, you all know that he was an idolater. His whole life he was worshipped idols. It's a great story. Romans 10, 13. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. That goes right back to what we're talking about, Bob. You and I have no idea of that person on their deathbed. I listen to people say, yeah, it's that deathbed religion just like jailhouse religion. Well, folks, it's not religion. It's a relationship. And whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. If they're laying in that bed, if you can't hear them, you don't need to hear them. Jesus hears them. Jesus didn't say, okay, Larry, you're dying. I know you can barely talk, but I want you to say it out loud so all these people will hear it. I'm not saved on how many people hear me. I'm saved on the one. Jesus, forgive me, a sinner. Have you ever thought about why the Jews were called God's chosen people? And this is for you all. Don't forget to take it. They were chosen to spread the message to everybody else, to tell the world that there is one true God. That's what they were chosen to do. Guess what they refused to do? Tell everybody else. Everybody else were sinners. They were the only ones that weren't sinning. Now, I met a lot of people today that said, let me know that. Now, God has taken that task and given it to his church, which includes Jews, Gentiles, and everybody else who put their faith in Christ. The sea comes through Christ. Grace, the sea in grace, meaning it comes through Christ. John 1:17, the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. That's why we're called New Testament Christians. The New Testament has finalized the law. The Ten Commandments was not given to the Christians. Folks, I'm not governed by the Ten Commandments anymore than you are. The Ten Commandments God gave, he says he gave it to show the people they couldn't keep them. Therefore, we were waiting for the Messiah to come. Okay? The Messiah has come. And I'm excited knowing he's coming again. And this time, I'm going with him. And all Christians are. John 1:17. The law was given through Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. Why not somebody else? Why Jesus Christ? Because he paid the price of admission. He's already paid for your salvation. Grace is free. No doubt about that. but it's not cheap. Remember it. Romans 5, second part of verse 15. Many people have received God's gift of life by the grace of the one man, Jesus Christ. In the Bible, the favorite description for a believer is the theme in Christ. It is used over 120 times in the New Testament. You will find the in Christ. It refers to somebody who has found salvation through the grace of God being in Christ. The illustration that I gave that time, I remember working on that one. It was the idea of taking a 3x5 card. It had my Bible, and a 3x5 card represented me. I put it in the Bible and closed it. That was Christ accepting me. You couldn't see the 3x5 card. All you saw was the Word of God. That's the gift that God has given us. We are locked and hidden in Christ. When I'm in Christ, can you see my imperfections? All you can see when I'm in Christ is Christ. When God takes my life and all the pieces of it that are really messed up, and He puts me in the life of Christ, I get into heaven on Christ's ticket. I'm not going to heaven on my goodness. Goodness sakes, you all know better than that. When He looks at me with eyes of grace, He will only see the perfection of Jesus Christ, His Son. Galatians 2:21. Don't treat the grace of God as meaningless. Big warning here. For if we could be saved by keeping the law, then there was no need for Christ to die. You're either going to get into heaven in Christ, or you're not going, period. And the E of grace is extended throughout eternity. Oh, I love that part. Yeah, but you know, when I was doing this, I remember how many days I get hooked, as you all know, when I'm reading, and then I got to know what a word meant. So I go back and do the word search, and then I find another word in that word search, and I drive everybody else crazy, but I enjoy it. He is extended throughout eternity. Romans 6:23, the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord. Eternal life is one of the benefits of grace. What a retirement, huh? Your full benefits. We get there, we're not even going to have to wait till the the term period where you can either do something with insurance or not do something with it. I was singing that the other day, and I said, what good does it do it? Gosh, folks, when you start paying the amount that I pay for, and I think, does anybody take care of these things? No, they don't. Well, it's copay. You pay the first $4,000 or $5,000, and we'll copay the other, yeah. You could say that grace is the gift that keeps on giving. God saves the best for last, and the best is yet to come. Ask yourself this question. How will I respond to God's saving grace? Isaiah 30:18. The Lord longs to be gracious to you. Think of that. God's love is so great, He was longing, even while He was on the cross, to forgive. He wanted them to come to know Him. And they couldn't have known truly what they were doing, or they would not have killed our Lord.